passage of scripture that I have, as I said this morning, I've never heard a message on it before. I've never preached on it before. We have heard the passage many, many times. We know what the beginning of the passage means. We're just not familiar with the second part of the passage. Matthew 22, verse 15 begins with, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk." People try to do that, you know. "And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians." I said this morning, you couldn't have two groups of people that were more further apart than the Pharisees and the Herodians. One were political activists, the other were religious activists. Nothing between them was common except for their enemy, Christ, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth." Flattery will get you nowhere. "Neither carest thou for any man, but for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and say, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" You know, Jesus kind of called them out. "Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. Am I reading the right thing? Am I in the right order? All right. Let me go to my Bible. Because what's on my sheet of paper is confusing. Matthew 22. What verse am I at? Jesus received it. Okay. "Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them. Now, they caught him in a catch 22, in a sense that if he said one thing, the Jews would take him because he was anti-law. If he said the other thing, the Herodians would take him and said, "You're anti-state, you're anti-government, you're anti-Roman Empire." So no matter what he said, they had him, and they knew it. But he said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's." Then he said, "And unto God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. My message this morning was titled, "Reconsider what we owe God." This evening, I'd like to look at what belongs to God. We're going to use the same passage of Scripture. As you know, this year we're looking at, or should I say, we are refocusing on areas of our life, our walk, our work, and our worship that need to be readjusted in light of our contemporary moment. Here we have the completion of pay what is due to the world, or pay what is due to the world, and pay to God the things which belong to God. Let's pray, could we? Lord, we ask for your guidance and direction. Be with those that couldn't be with us. We continue to pray for those that, Lord, are navigating their circumstances. Lord, it's a blessing to see Rhonda here this evening. And we continue to pray for her husband and his recovery. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the family of God. Lord, we ask that the Spirit of God would minister to each one of us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, this morning we looked at what do we owe God? And I thought of a few things that I'm just going to quickly run by you so you have context. We owe God our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We call that the first great commandment. So we do that with devotion, with praise, with honor, with glory. We do that with our personal relationship with God. Second, what do we owe God? We owe God eternal things, because temporal things are going to pass away. But eternal things belong to Him. Therefore, if we focus or pay or invest all of our lives on temporal things, we're going to miss the eternal. There are only two eternal things that last forever: the Word of God and the people of God, the souls of men and women. So we looked at how the Word of God, in the Word of God, says that it's eternal, it's everlasting. And the souls of men and women, boys and girls, are eternal as well. So we are okay. It sounds like it's okay if we pay attention and prioritize there. Third, Romans reminds us that it is right to gift ourselves to the Lord. It's kind of like re-gifting. God gave us a gift of life. He gave us a gift of eternal life, and then we re-gift that gift back to Him through being a living sacrifice. And how do we present ourselves to Him? With Christ-likeness. So, what belongs to God? First, our devotion, our love. Eternal things, the gift of ourselves. And fourthly, gifts of service. Or once we're saved, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and Titus chapter 1, and so many other passages of Scripture, we are saved to serve. How many people have ever heard that before? Okay, let me pause for a moment, because not every hand is up. You don't have to put your hand up, but the phrase is true. You are saved to serve. You are not here for you. So God's plan, God's program, is for us to be in part of God's program, not the world's program. Isn't it so easy just to? Yes. So we're saved to serve. And we do that by our works. By our works. Trusting and praying that our motive and our reasons are above reproach. But also we talked about the fact that we need to be careful, because the Bible clearly says you cannot serve God and mammon. So there has to be a clear distinction. As what belongs to God, there are certain things that belong to God, and we have to be careful not to serve mammon and think that we can do both. And the last thing we looked at was the application. In other words, things that God would not accept, or things that not would be pleasing to the Lord regarding men or women or boys and girls. First of all, God wouldn't be necessarily pleased without possessions. We don't have to give God our possessions. We don't have to give God, or God is not pleased with our power. God is not pleased with our privilege. God is not impressed with our position, our prestige, our popularity, our praise, our profession, or our prosperity. Matthew 22:21 says, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. Okay, from now on, I'm just letting you know this is a Bible study. So I'm going to show you passages of Scripture. You're not going to sit here and soak. We're going to go back and forth all over the Bible as God shows us what belongs to Him. Isaiah 66:1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Okay, who said that? God did. Genesis 14. Genesis 14, verse 19. "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, back 20, 30, 40 years ago, that's how church used to be, right? Used to have 100 verses in one service. And now we have one verse, and some people say, oh, that's too much. 1 Corinthians 10:26, "For the earth is the Lord's." There's no period there. "And the fullness thereof." So what belongs to God? Heaven and earth and all the fullness thereof. Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now, this is not necessarily so personal, but this is what we might say a little more theological, right? What belongs to God? The heaven and the earth. And all that is involved with that, which places him above all, right? Above all power. Okay, second, Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27. Now, this is not going to be one that's going to surprise anybody. You would probably think of this right off the top of your head. What belongs to God? The tithe, right? What belongs to the Lord? The tithe. Leviticus 27:30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Genesis 14. Genesis 14, verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 22. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. As I said this morning, God owns it all. He allows us 90%. 90% he gives us. He says, all I'm asking for is 10. You keep the 90, I'll take 10. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Deuteronomy 14, a couple pages over. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. How often? Always. We could go to 2 Chronicles 31, which we won't. Nehemiah 10, which we won't. And you're familiar with Malachi chapter 3, right? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Third, what belongs to God? I'm glad you asked. Deuteronomy chapter 29. What belongs to the Lord? First, everything. And second, our gifts, our offerings, our sacrifices. Third, this might not come to the top of your mind, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, I've heard it said in the past that some believers have had arguments over belly buttons on Adam and Eve. Right? Some people consider that a secret thing. Like, since God didn't reveal it, then surely it's not important. I suppose it's not very important. Except if you were a child of Adam and Eve. And your mom and dad looked different than you. Did I just cut off here? All right. So I'm not saying that the Bible says, I'm just saying that, you know, if your parents look different than you do, you might not. Anyway, belly buttons are not the point of this message. But there are some things that Christians will argue about, Christians will debate about, discuss, that are important, and they're not necessarily secret, they're just lazy. And they don't know how to rightly divide the word of God, so therefore, they'll say, oh, this is immaterial, or this isn't important. This is just an area of confrontation or conflict. Yeah, it might be, but again, if you're going to take the word of God and make it fit you, and not necessarily the whole counsel of God, then you're just being lazy. Psalm 25. So we have secret things or unrevealed things belong to the Lord. Psalm 25, verse 14. I know you've read this. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So therefore, he will not show some people, but he will show other people. This morning we talked about that regarding parables in our Sunday school class. What were parables? Well, parables were stories. Parables were riddles. Parables were studies that Jesus gave to those that were skeptics and scorners and weren't open to truth, so Jesus would give them a parable to confuse them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32 says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." The Lord's secret is with the righteous. Jeremiah chapter 23. If you turn there, Jeremiah 23. Verse 18 says, "For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and who hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it?" So there's some things that are unrevealed to us because we're not in his presence. We're not listening. We're not reading. We're not in church. We're not paying attention. We're not receiving the spiritual things of the Lord, so therefore, they might not necessarily be as available. Amos. Not Amos cookies. Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos. So it's right there in the Minor Prophets, just after the book of Daniel. A couple chapters, a couple books to the right. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So what belongs to God? First of all, everything belongs to God because he made everything. Second, the tithe and the fruit of the land belongs to the Lord. Third, the secret things belong to the Lord. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. We'll just stay in those books for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 12. This is what we would call the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Deuteronomy chapter number 14. What we have here is a group of people that God has called out. In the New Testament, a called out sent one, a disciple of the Lord, would be called a missionary. In the Old Testament, God called out an entire nation. He called them Israel. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Deuteronomy 26. Verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Deuteronomy 28, just a few pages over, Deuteronomy 28, verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Exodus 19. So God's people, the nation of Israel, belong to him. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So we have the earth in all its fullness. We have fruit, and the tithe belongs to God. The secret things and the unrevealed things belong to the Lord. God's people, the nation of Israel, belong to the Lord. And God's people, the church, belong to the Lord. Yes? Okay. Let's turn in Psalm 94. Psalm 94. I'll look at the last major category, and then we will wrap it up. Psalm 94. Now, this category is larger than just what we're going to focus on. This category perhaps covers an awful lot of soul issues, a lot of spiritual issues. Psalm 94, verse 1. Are you there? O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, showeth thyself. Now, why did God say that twice? Because we're hard of hearing? No. Vengeance belongs to whom? To whom? To God. Verse 2. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Okay, now the author of this chapter is saying, Lord, I understand vengeance belongs to you. Twice I understand that. But hey, Lord, I've got a few places where you might want to send that vengeance. I've got a few addresses, like if I give you a GPS, could you send that vengeance there? Verse 3, Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. We might use the word retribution. That's not fair. No, life isn't fair. You need to pay. Yes, they do. And they will. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Nahum. All right, you with me? Daniel, what's the next book? What's the book after Daniel? Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Habakkuk. Oh, sorry. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2, says, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth. That's twice. And is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now that is so unhuman. Let me say it another way. That is so un-American, isn't it? Because we want to get even. Right? We want to get even. As opposed to Romans chapter 12. Turn there. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, if you don't believe that, then you will be consumed by this spirit of vengeance and retribution. And lastly, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So there are some things in this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 22. The first part of this passage we're very familiar with. And it would have been nice if Jesus would have said, oh, you followers of me, you don't have to pay your taxes. Don't worry about what the state says. Don't worry about what the government says. It's good. Just give all your money to me. And that's fine. But God didn't say that. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that belong to God. So, let's refocus. Okay? It is time for us to reevaluate our priorities. It is time for us to revive our relationship with God. It is time for us to restore our relationships with God's people. It is time for us to renew our resolve to pray and seek the Lord's face regarding the lost within our sphere. In other words, it's time. Let's pray. Lord, we think that everything belongs to us. We act like we're 2 or 3 year olds. That's mine. And we fight and we bicker and we argue. And sometimes we act childish over the things that you've given to us. Things that you've allowed us to steward, to manage, to oversee. And there are some things, Lord, that clearly we've just touched the tip of the iceberg. The things that belong to you. Help us, I pray, to be still and know that you're God. When our lives are busy and hectic and crazy and out of control, sometimes it's hard to be still. But in those hectic moments, we can still meditate on you. In those hurried times, we can still remember you. In those times of crisis, we can still call out to you. In those times of need, Lord, help us trust you. For those of us that are here this evening, perhaps in the middle of a whirlwind, we might call it a Job moment, where you're life is turned upside down. You don't know why. Lord, help us to refocus and reprioritize. You're trying to get our attention. Help us recommit ourselves to thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John's going to lead us in a hymn, 358.